Radio Prague News. The enlargement of the Schengen border-free zone to the EU newcomer states has been set for December the 31st of 2007. An Austrian descendant of Archduke Franz Ferdinand has launched a massive property claim for estates now found in the Czech Republic. And a Czech serial killer who has confessed to murdering 7 patients in a Czech hospital says he wanted to test doctors' skills. The enlargement of the Schengen border-free zone to the EU newcomer states, including the Czech Republic, has been set for December the 31st of 2007. The decision was made at a summit of EU Interior and Justice Ministers in Brussels on Tuesday, following months of controversy over a proposed delay of more than a year. The compromise solution, approved on Tuesday, was put forward by Portugal and would mean a delay of only a few months. Leaders in the 10 countries which joined the EU in 2004 had fought hard against a proposal to delay enlarging Schengen for a whole year. The original expansion date cannot be met due to technical difficulties involving the process of setting up a new police database for the expanded region. The great-granddaughter of Archduke Franz Ferdinand, whose assassination sparked World War II, has launched a legal claim for the return of her family's possessions in what is now the Czech Republic, the Czech daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reported on Tuesday. Princess Sophie of Hohenberg wants Konopiště Castle, one of her great-grandfather's favourite estates, returned and has lodged an action through her lawyer at the local Benešov court. Konopiště Castle, located around 30 kilometres from Prague, includes 6,000 hectares of land and its own brewery. The castle is now in state hands. A Czech serial killer who has confessed to murdering 7 patients in a Czech hospital says he wanted to test doctors' skills. The 30-year-old male nurse who injected 17 patients with excessive doses of a blood-thinning drug over a period of 6 months has told the police he wanted to see if doctors were able to detect the problem. The head physician in the hospital where the killings occurred called an investigation when it recorded a higher-than-usual death rate as a result of unexplained internal hemorrhaging. The hospital town of Havlíčkův Brod has said it is ready to compensate the families of the victims and is taking strict security measures. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague. My name is Ilya Meritz. Today, new details emerge in the case of a nurse who murdered 7 hospital patients. A proposal to give UNESCO designation to 12 more Czech sites. Is Santa Claus encroaching on Czech Christmas traditions? A new campaign says Santa go home. And later in Talking Point, tourist visas and missile defense. A look at Czech-American relations. Police have dubbed it an unprecedented case in Czech criminal history. A hospital nurse murdered 7 patients by lethal injection and attempted to kill 10 others. The nurse, 30-year-old Petr Zelenka, who worked at a hospital in eastern Bohemia's Havlíčkův Brod, was brought into custody over the weekend. Now many are questioning how the perpetrator was able to get away with it for so long, and they're calling for preventive measures to stop anything similar from happening again. Jan Wellinger has details.
He reportedly killed with a hidden vial of heparin, a blood-thinning drug causing internal bleeding when administered in large doses. Then he quietly completed his shift. 30-year-old Petr Zelenka, nurse at the hospital in Havlíčkův Brod. At first, the hospital was unable to register anything wrong given the relatively high number of deaths in intensive care, even under normal circumstances. But eventually it became clear that an unusually high number of patients were dying from internal hemorrhaging. The scales were tipped by a 7th death in September, and it was then that the hospital negotiated with Mr. Zelenka to give up his post. Acting on suspicions, authorities finally notified police, but charges were not pressed against the nurse per se, but against an unknown perpetrator. Now, not surprisingly, there has been criticism. Some think that the hospital should have been more swift in its actions and should have informed regional health authorities about the case. Even the health minister has stated the hospital should have fired Mr. Zelenka outright rather than ending his contract by negotiation. Those measures would have arguably prevented Mr. Zelenka from getting a job at another hospital in nearby Jihlava. Even though it appears while there Mr. Zelenka did not have time to kill again, there is little doubt he would have eventually. Police psychologist Ludmila Chirtkova described such killer states.
Velmi častou pohnutkou jsou vražedné choutky. To znamená, že tomu člověku dělá prostě radost zabíjet.
Such people enjoy killing the helpless, those who need to rely on the help of others. They think and feel differently than the rest of us and get enjoyment from deciding over life and death. That's where they gain the most pleasure.
Životě a smrti druhých, protože to je vlastně ten ultimativní zážitek, kterého oni se kochají.
Although Mr. Zelenka's case is being treated as an isolated one, there's no question security and procedural checks at hospitals and health facilities will now need to be increased. Health Minister Tomáš Julínek.
Je důležité stanovit bezpečnost procesu v té nemocnici, to znamená...
It's important that hospitals implement a higher number of mechanisms for repeatedly checking some processes, more controls, more people, like you have for security at airports. Like airports, hospitals are highly sensitive sites. Measures should be introduced. That also pertains to my call on hospital directors to increase accreditation in security measures several weeks ago.
In this case, Mr. Zelenka has already confessed and has been taken into custody. His lawyer has been quoted as saying the nurse may have killed on an impulse to test doctors in Havlíčkův Brod in the belief they were not good enough to discover the truth. According to reports, this is one area where the suspect has shown emotion, surprised that in the end, he finally was caught.
The Czech Republic boasts numerous cultural heritage sites, 12 of them, including the historic center of Prague, the Villa Tugendhat in Brno, and the town of Český Krumlov in southern Bohemia, are already on the UNESCO list. Now, as Dita Asiedu reports, the cultural ministry is hoping to add 12 more.
I'm standing on Prague's Jiří Hospodě Brat Square, facing one of Prague's most unusual-looking churches. Built by Slovene architect Josip Plečník in 1932, it is mostly constructed of brick and is one of the more modern churches in Prague. But the Church of the Most Sacred Heart of Our Lord, together with many other jewels hidden away in various corners of the country, gets very little attention. The Cultural Ministry is hoping to change that. It is working on a proposal to add 12 more sites and landscapes on the UNESCO list of World Heritage Sites. If monuments like the church on Jiří Hospodě Brat Square were on the UNESCO list, they would be featured within the first few pages of Czech travel guides. The ministry's Věra Kučová explains the benefits of making the UNESCO list.
In fact, it is only prestige. It is huge prestige, and the city of the, or the region which is connected with such site is usually lucky with enormous increasing of culture tourism. So the benefit is in the sphere of economy, and of course it is more controlled by the National Institute of Property Conservation and Protection. They have more chance to get money by the state, so I think the benefit is obvious.
Among the sites the Cultural Ministry hopes to add to the UNESCO list are also the popular medieval Karlštejn Castle, which has been trying to get on the list for the last 16 years, and Prague's functionalist early 20th century Müller Villa by architect Adolf Loos. But as Mrs. Kučová tells us, there'll also be some unusual nominations.
For example, the historic paper mill at the village of Velké Losiny, and also the complex of buildings relating to the spa function of the town of Luhačovice in South Moravia. Later we shall prepare very interesting complex of rock sculptures near the village of Cooks called Bethlehem. A bit complicated, but we hope a very interesting topic is nomination prepared under the name Industrial Complexes at Ostrava, which is really a huge ensemble of previous coal mine, coke production buildings, production of iron and steel, chemical industry.
But the Czech Republic is already among those countries boasting the most sites on the UNESCO list. With some countries having no sites listed at all, it will be difficult to push another Czech site through.
That report by Dita Asieru. You're listening to Radio Prague.
Oh, you better watch out, better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
With less than 3 weeks now until Christmas, the figure of Santa Claus is to be seen all over the place in the Czech Republic, in decorations, on shopping bags, and in store windows. But Santa is a relatively new phenomenon in this country. A similar figure, Mikuláš, or St. Nicholas, visits children on December 5th, while presents are delivered on December 24th by Ježíšek, the baby Jesus. Some Czechs resent this invader from the West, or should that be up north? Among them, the Creative Copywriters Club, who have set up a website, antisanta.cz. Their message? Santa go home. Ian Willoughby spoke to the group's David Koenig at a Prague shopping mall.
Well, I'd like to say clearly I'm not against Santa himself. He's an American or English tradition and I just respect it. But I'd like to ask Anglo-Saxons just to be so kind as to respect my traditions or Czech traditions. Santa is a little, how to say that, alien here.
On your website, anti-santa.cz, you tell a story about a book that you read for your daughter in which there was a big confusion between the figure of Ježíšek, the baby Jesus, and Santa Claus.
Yes, that's it. That was a last kick to do something about that. Because, you know, it's really confusing when on a picture is Santa and he's called by... other characters of the book, like Ježíšek, you know, it's confusing. Ježíšek is, this is the right person who brings gifts in my country.
On your website, you have a forum for people to express their opinions about Santa Claus in the Czech Republic. What kind of things are people saying? What reaction have you got from people on your website?
They mostly say something like... thank you for your initiative. I hate Santa as well, and it's a high time to do something with it. There were maybe two people, I think they are Americans settled in Czech Republic. They wrote me something like, why? It's just a symbol, nothing serious or something. Isn't it xenophobia? And I say, no, it's not xenophobia. I like America. I like rock and roll. I like Elvis Presley. But I doesn't like Santa Claus.
Earlier we passed here in this shopping center a toy shop with a Santa, Lego Santa, in the window. How much or how often do you come across the figure of Santa in Czech culture? Is it really so common here now? And if so, have you seen that become more common in recent years?
I think it's more common than recent years. More common than last year. It's maybe in every third window pane I'm crossing by.
Why do you think it is that it's becoming more common here, Santa Claus?
Well, I think that the international companies and shopping chains and advertising companies too are just too lazy or something, I don't know, to shoot Czech's TV spot or make some Christmas decoration with the Czech traditions. And maybe it's also because of money, because, you know, there are shopping chains and They have the same decorations in all of the world, so they use it in here also. I think it's crazy because all the marketing is about to fulfill customers' needs. This is not fulfilling any need. This is about to force us to celebrate our feasts another way, the alien way, you know.
Ian Willoughby was talking there with David Koenig, one of the people behind the website, antisanta.cz. And now, in the last part of today's program, it's time for Talking Point with Emily Udell.
Last week, United States President George W. Bush announced plans to modify his nation's visa waiver program to raise the number of countries whose citizens can enter the U.S. without a visa. The announcement was made during a trip to Estonia and was received by Czechs with great interest, as the Czech Republic is one country that could stand to benefit from a change in U.S. visa policy. Because U.S. citizens are allowed to enter the Czech Republic for a short period without a visa, but Czechs are unable to do the same, it is an issue that festers at the core of bilateral relations between the two countries. On the day Bush made his announcement, U.S. Ambassador to the Czech Republic, Richard Graber, was optimistic about what the development could mean for the Czech Republic.
Visas are a very big issue in the Czech Republic. It's probably the number one issue, and I've come to learn very, very quickly how big of an issue it is here. The president made a significant announcement today. He announced that he was willing to work with Congress to establish some flexibility in the existing visa waiver law, to provide modifications to the visa law that would focus on security. So it's a somewhat different focus than it's been in the past. There's a long way to go on this. Congress has to change the law, of course. Any time a law is changed in the United States, that's a process. It's not something that happens instantly or overnight. But from the perspective of the Czechs, I think it has to be looked at as good news.
For now, U.S. citizens can travel to the Czech Republic for business or tourism for 90 days or less without obtaining a visa. Czech citizens must undergo what many say is a complicated and painful process to obtain a visa to enter the United States for any reason. Czech Foreign Minister Alexander Vondra took President Bush's statement as a sign that the situation would change in the near future. On Czech TV, after Bush's announcement, Mr. Vondra projected a timeline of approximately 2 years to fully balance U.S.-Czech visa relations.
Je to de facto takové poetické vyjádření, ale myslím si, že znamená fakticky.
It's basically a political statement, which casts light on the need to change the law. It's not a question of weeks or even months, but I think that 1 or 2 years would be a realistic estimate.
Nejbližších měsíců, ale myslím, ten 1-2 roky je realistický odhad.
Ambassador Graber said a timeline for any visa change would be impossible for him to predict, so for now, Czechs have to pay and wait for the opportunity to travel to the U.S. The ambassador outlined America's position at a public meeting in Prague's Hotel Savoy. Among those in attendance was a Czech woman, Lucia Steskalova. She agrees that the visa issue is a top priority for strengthening the relations between the two countries.
Czechs are complaining a lot about how much money they have to pay for the visa, and it's not sure whether they receive them or not, even if they pay. So they would like to at least know the reasons why they do not go. And, of course, everybody here would appreciate a lot if there is no visa traveling possibility to the U.S.
To apply for a visa to visit the States, Czech citizens must pay a processing fee of 2,200 Czech crowns, or the equivalent of approximately $104, which is not returned if the application is rejected. Last year, the U.S. Embassy in Prague granted 32,000 10-year visas to Czech citizens. More than 45,000 Czechs visited the U.S. in 2005. Over the past few years, the rejection rate of applications for Czech visas has hovered around 10%. According to current U.S. policy, visa rejections must stay below 3% for a 2-year period for a country to qualify for the visa waiver program. Jirka Brandeis, a student who also attended the recent panel with Ambassador Graber, summed up some of the reasons he thinks the U.S. should allow Czechs to visit the country without visas.
I think the Czech Republic should make as big pressure as is possible to USA not to have visa. I think our states cooperate a lot They cooperate in case of business, military, and they support each other on the world scene. This can be seen, for example, in Afghanistan, involvement of Czech Army in Iraq as well, and investments which flows from USA to the Czech Republic. So I think, I can't say, we have so many issues in this field, so it can be just the visa issue. Normally, I think our relations are very good.
The support the Czech Republic has lent to the U.S. in the military missions in Afghanistan and Iraq is a reason often cited as justification for a policy change, as well as the fact that the U.S. is considering the Czech Republic as a possible host site for a missile defense base. Throughout the year, U.S. defense experts have been scouting locations for the base in Poland and the Czech Republic. Ambassador Graber.
The United States is in the process of deciding whether or not to offer the opportunity to host a missile defense facility in the Czech Republic. There are a couple of components to it. There's an interceptor component and a radar component. It is possible that both interceptors and radar could be in one country, or it could be divided with radar in one country and interceptors in another. Again, that decision has not been made. If an offer is made to the Czechs, it's very important to stress, I believe, that the decision is ultimately a Czech decision as to whether or not to accept that offer. I believe if an offer is made, that it would be a good thing for relationships between the two countries.
Some opinion polls have found that the majority of Czechs oppose the installation of a missile defense site. On the other hand, some people see the base as a good opportunity to strengthen the relationship between the two countries. Ambassador Graber believes that the offer would be a positive development for security in both countries and security in the central and eastern regions of Europe. But some critics of the potential facility have said a missile defense base would make the host country a strategic target. There is also continued uncertainty about under whose jurisdiction the facility would lie. Would the United States, the Czech Republic, or some international body be legally responsible for administration of the site? Czech lawyer Jana Hrskova attended Harvard University Law School on a Fulbright scholarship.
I think it's really important to be absolutely sure about terms and conditions. I'm a lawyer, so I know that it's really crucial to have a very good understanding of all technical and legal aspects. Even today during the questions session, there was a specific questions related to experience from different countries where bases exist, like in Japan or Germany. And I think that majority of people actually does not really know what in reality it means and how it would work. And I think that it has to be some sort of like real dialogue and explanation and practice, so people would have a better understanding and they could form a better opinion about the situation.
Ambassador Graber says that these issues, as well as the low opinion polls, will need to be addressed should the U.S. choose the Czech Republic as a host site.
I think it would be important for both countries to have a full dialogue on this, and I'm convinced that if the full story is communicated, that the Czechs will support, again, whatever offer might be made.
He anticipates that a decision will be made this year. In addition to addressing the well-publicized issues of visas and the missile defense facility, the U.S. Embassy is trying to promote educational exchanges between the two nations and more investment in the Czech Republic by American companies.
American investment in the Czech Republic continues to increase. This has been a very favorable place to do business. I meet regularly with American businesses that are here. I plan to meet with Czech businesses that might have an interest in an American partner or who have an interest in the American marketplace.
Graber says this task is a challenging one at a time when the Czech economy is gaining strength and international businesses are looking further east for cheaper labor and more amenable legal and economic environments in which to do business.
I think as this democracy matures, that this will not be the low-cost place to do business, and I think a skilled, educated, motivated workforce will become really a competitive differentiator. So I think that's probably the most important thing. And I do think it's important to, as I said before, strengthen some of the institutions of democracy, making sure that there's a transparent legal system, making sure that business corruption is minimized. Things such as that are very, very important, making sure that there's a solid infrastructure People, infrastructure are probably the two biggest factors that a business looks at when deciding to invest.
That talking point by Emily Udell brings us to the end of today's program. If you feel like commenting on anything you've heard, or if you have any queries for us, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradska 12, 12099, Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Ilya Meritz, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us. Goodbye and take care.